I want to talk about no man's land, and I want to begin by talking about liminal space. And for those that know what that is, it's a theological and it's a psychological a term, and we're going to define that for you here this morning. It is the intermediate, in-between, transitional state where you cannot go back to where you were because a threshold has been crossed. And you have yet to arrive where you are going because it is not yet available to you. So if we restate that, we can say it is the hallway between the past and the future. In this transitional state, it will take you far longer than you anticipated and far more effort and focus than what you wanted to expend. So when you're in transition, when change is coming, it can be a great place, but it can also be a terrible place emotionally. And that's kind of what we're talking about. I don't know how many of you have ever traveled on an airplane and you kind of got stuck. You either got stuck in a holding pattern while sitting on the plane, or you were stuck on the tarmac waiting for the plane to take off. And so that's the kind of what we're talking about. We're kind of in that holding pattern where you may feel stuck, where you may feel trapped. I call it no man's land, all right? And so that's kind of where we're going here this morning. For those of us wishing for a quick fix, it may not happen the way we want. And so transition, change comes our way, and we would like for it to happen immediately. Wouldn't you like to have your prayers answered the first time you pray? Yes, it would be wonderful. So this transition, this liminal space is not a two-minute drill. There is no quota of how many prayers that we are called to pray for it to. If we pray five times, it's six times, seven times. If you pray this 10 times, it's going to happen. No, it's not going to happen that way. There is no magic verse that we can pull out of the Bible that will automatically bring it to pass in our life. Yes, that scripture may give us peace. It may bring us assurance. It may bring us encouragement. But it is no magic verse that will bring it about just like that. So to reorient your life to some kind of order or to make some sense of circumstances, you have to experience disorientation. So when you're in the midst of change, there is going to be that moment in time when you're disoriented. And when we're going through something, will we understand everything when all is said and done? Probably not. There are a lot of things that we have gone through in life, and we kind of question God and say, I wonder what purpose you had in mind that I had to go through this. And how many know it's a test of faith? How many know that time is a test of faith? And how many know that God doesn't tempt us, but how many know that God does test our faith? Now, faith is the confidence. How many know that scripture? In what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And so what we're seeing here, that when we're in this transitional phase, this liminal space, this no man's zone, God is leading us into his greater plan. We also quote that scripture, all things work out for good. What's the rest of that? For those who are called of God and love God. So there's two conditions to that verse, right? So we can read the Bible and we see a lot of individuals that have experienced this liminal space. We can see Nehemiah in the Bible where he gets the report of the walls of Jerusalem being destroyed. He's in captivity. And we see the time it took from when he heard about it, when he began to pray, and before he approached the king. How many have ever read the book of Job? Don't lie. How many read the book of Job? How many made it through the book of Job? How many know it is a book in the Bible, right? And how many know that Job went through some tremendous times? There was a liminal space that he was experiencing in his life. How many know scholars say it was only about 9 months? I don't know, but it's about 9 months. We read the story of Elijah. He comes off of Mount Carmel, right? Destroys the prophets of Baal. And what's he do? He's threatened by Jezebel. And so he's in turmoil. He's in this liminal space where he's threatened. His life is, and he runs. And he hides. We look at David. David was anointed king. And it took almost a couple decades for him to become king of Israel. Could you imagine waiting in that time span? We have Jeremiah, the prophet, also, who is called to prophesy. He doesn't want to prophesy, but God says, you're going to prophesy. And how many times he sat in prison, how many times he was in a well, how many times he was persecuted by the people and threatened by the people. It was liminal space. We look in the New Testament, we see Peter. We see after his denial. Could you imagine Peter in that state, that liminal space that he was experiencing this change in his life? We see Paul. He was saved, and 17 years later or more, he is called to be a missionary. So what was Paul doing in all that time, those 17, almost two decades of living between he was called to be a missionary? We look at Mary, the mother of Jesus. She becomes impregnated by the Holy Spirit. And what does she do? She runs to her cousin Elizabeth. She hangs out there for what, 3 to 6 months? And she comes back with a baby bump. Could you imagine explaining that to your parents? That liminal space that she was experiencing. We see Jesus himself in that liminal space. Even in the garden, that moment of knowing what you came for and not wanting to fulfill it in your flesh. Liminal space. And so we're going to take a look at the disciples here quickly here this morning. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And you're familiar with these scriptures. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait. Right there. Don't leave, but wait. That's kind of what liminal space is all about. That's what being in no man's land is all about. But wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. Acts chapter 1, verse 12 through 14. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. And look what they said. What it says there in verse 14. They all joined together constantly in prayer. How many know that one thing that's going to get you through this no man's land is being in the presence of God and praying? Can I hear an amen? Amen. Along with the women and many, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Father, I just ask in these next few moments that we just kind of open up our hearts. And Lord, if there are individuals here today that kind of feel like they're in no man's land and maybe a situation in their life, that they are experiencing this liminal space, Lord, where they're in the transition from one thing to another, and they just kind of feel like they're stuck there. There seems like there's nothing happening. I pray today that, Lord, that they'll receive what you would have them receive here today. I pray that you will speak into their heart and that you will show them, Lord, that you're in control. That, Lord, you are working out the details and that the answer is coming. And so, Father, we just ask that in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. So the disciples found themselves in the hallway between the past and the future. And I don't know if you, when you read the scripture, that you put yourself in the place of those that the story is being written about. Because I think a lot of times we just read words just to read words, and we're not really thinking about what is taking place in the lives of those individuals. So think about it this morning, that you're in the hallway with the disciples this morning between Jesus' death, his resurrection, and his what? The day of Pentecost, when he will pour out his Spirit upon them. They have experienced a lot of different emotions. They have probably gone through the five stages of grief. They have experienced things from sorrow, loss, and disappointment. Don't you think that when they saw Jesus being crucified, even though he told them he was going to do it, that they weren't hurt, that they didn't sorrow, that they didn't weep, that there wasn't a loss and maybe a disappointment? Jesus had promised a lot of things. Fear entered into their lives. Doubt and confusion kind of just consumed them in this moment in time. They probably felt abandoned, deceived, probably a little bitterness and resentment. They heard of other stories of leaders. It's in the, you can read it in the Bible. You see Barabbas, you see others in the book of Acts, people that led rebellions against the Roman government, against the Sanhedrin or whoever, leadership. And so they were kind of probably thinking, man, we've been duped just like those individuals. So there might have been some abandonment, deceitment, maybe some desert and resentment. We followed this guy. We committed 2.5 years of our lives following this individual. And look where we're at. But when Jesus appeared, hallelujah, on that resurrection morning, a couple went out to the tomb, no body. And in that evening, the Bible says he appeared to them in a locked room. And we see there's an astonishment. We see that there is a joy that comes. There's an awe that comes in understanding that what Jesus said has come to fulfillment. And through this time from the resurrection to the time, the day of Pentecost, there is a revelation of Christ's work. They are taught in retrospect. All those things that Jesus taught, they didn't understand. Now they begin to understand looking back. Just like as the church today, we understand the scriptures. We kind of judge them as being knuckleheads sometimes, not getting it. But how many know we look back in retrospect? And so we can see the whole story. As this, to them, the story was unfolding before them. And so standing before them is a promise of uncertain future. So you can imagine all these different emotions that they were feeling within these days, within these 40 days that they're waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit. They were experiencing liminal space. They were in transition from the Old Testament to the New Testament. They were in no man's land. They were between two covenants. It was too far to turn back, and they were not sure where they were going. Because what the future was unfolding before their eyes. Everything was new. So let's bring it home to us here today. At times in our lives, we have all experienced liminal space. We have experienced this no man's zone. How many ever graduated from high school? Did you know what the future held? Some people had a plan, some people didn't. They just wanted to get out of school. We have people that went to college. The plan was to go to college. They went there. Guess what? They found out what they went to college for is not what they want to do. It kind of falls into this, no, now what do I do? I'm in college. How many have ever been engaged? How many know it's liminal space between engagement and marriage? Isn't it? It's that waiting period. It's something you're looking forward to, and you burned your bridges, man. You're engaged. How many know that 80, 90% of people who get engaged don't even get married? That's just encouragement to some people. All right. But there's people that have gone through, in this, even in this body, a divorce. How many know even becoming impregnating? 9 months could be a long time. I wouldn't know. But anyway, 9 months can be a very long time from when you first hear the news to the time you're holding that baby in your arms. Isn't that liminal time? I mean, you're making plans, you're making the room. I mean, you're envisioning this thing, but yet it hasn't happened. Some people have experienced illness. Some have experienced accidents. How many know that you have experienced accidents or had surgery? How many of you would honestly say you did things before you were supposed to? You didn't behave yourself, right? It was liminal space because the doctor said, don't do this until. But I'm feeling good, right? And you did it anyway, and you paid the price. There's that transition between jobs. Thought about Chris on this one. Transition, when you don't want to be where you're at, and yet there's nothing open. That's a terrible emotional state to be because you hate where you're at, and you're looking forward to where you want to be. You empty nesters. Hallelujah. Some of you probably cried, and some of you probably rejoiced. Retirement, death, right, of a loved one puts us into these liminal spaces in our lives. What do I do now? You know, it's an emotional time. Even in our spiritual journey, you get saved. It's exciting. And then what? Now what do I do with it? Then we hear, oh, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So you get filled with the Holy Spirit. Then we have that space again. Now what? We have God's call upon our life. Right? We got a call. Now what? Liminal space. Liminal space is a reality to all of us. We all experience. It can be paralyzing. It can be fearful. It can be discouraging. But at the same time, it can be exciting. It can be healing. It can give you direction for your life. It's a learning time. It's not a dead time. It's not where you curl up and die or go into depression. These times of liminal space or no man's zone are occupied by an in-depth season of seeking God. Hopefully, if you're in that season, you are seeking God. You are seeking God's will. You are seeking God's assurance, His presence in your life. How many know that when you're in here, as I said earlier, it's a testing of faith during those times to trust God that He's going to get you through, that the answer is coming? It is a time where we pray. It's a time where we ask supplication, intercede. It's a time to read your Bible. It's a time to fast. It's a time when we take an inner assessment of who we are. We begin to look in and say, God, am I holding this thing up? God, is there something in my life? Is there something I'm supposed to do? We make an assessment. It's a place where we find ourselves. It's a place where we find our identity. This is a place where we discover our strengths, and it's a place where we discover our weaknesses. During this time is a revelation of who we are and what is inside of us. Do I really trust God in this moment and time of my life? How many know you're in Chapel on the Hill? All right. So we've had a group of individuals meeting on Sunday night for a period of time, and we wanted to discuss the future of our church. And what we concluded is that we find ourselves in liminal space. We kind of find ourselves in no man's zone, in that place. And we find ourselves in the hallway between the past and the future. We're in no man's land. And so what we concluded, because some things have changed on us, we have come up with four pursuits for the coming year. And the group may say, where'd you come up with these? But these are what we came up with. Number one, we want to experience presence manifestation. We have come to the place where we want the Spirit of God to move in us and among us and through us. It is the Spirit embodiment. We want the Holy Spirit to lead. We don't only want to live in the Spirit, but we want to walk by the Spirit. We want to discover spiritual renewal. We want to experience spiritual revival. When we show up to church, we want God's presence to be here. When we're ministering to individuals, we want the presence of God to be with us and in us and working through us to other people. So presence manifestation is one of those things that we're going to work towards. And we're creating some events. We're doing some things. Even some of our teaching class are all going to be geared to manifest presence manifestation. Secondly is spiritual formation, which is discipleship. Many have abandoned this part. And we encourage you, get involved in Sunday school. We encourage you to get involved on Tuesday nights as we make available opportunities for you to be discipled. And we are developing a process in which we want people to walk through and to grow and to move into this area of presence manifestation in their own lives. Because if it's in you, it's going to be in our church, because you are the church. The third thing is institutional renovation. We're talking about recalibration. How many know that the past is the past, and there are some things that we cannot resurrect? We have the story in John 15 where Jesus talks about the vine and the branches. There is some pruning, he said, that must be done in our lives. And so there are going to be some pruning done in the church. There are going to be some pruning it's going to bear a lot of fruit. But there is also going to be some pruning where some of the things we used to do, the things that we think are essential to our church, they're going to be lopped off, cut off, and thrown into a pile to be burned. And so we are going to institutional renovate. There are some things we need to resurrect and strengthen. And there are other things that, bye-bye, they're going to be gone. The fourth thing is obedient anticipation, which is our liminal space. The opportunity is what we do, what we're doing. We're obedient to what we know until God reveals the next step. And so that's where we're at. Does that make sense to those that were in that group, right? Because we have an opportunity knocking on our door. So we're waiting for God to reveal that next step. And there's going to be a cost to it. And we're going to have to trust God that he will bring it to pass. So, let me wrap up. And everybody said? Man. Maybe I'll start over. All right. Like the disciples in Acts 1, as a church, we find ourselves in this liminal space. Okay, this is where we find ourselves. We are standing in the hallway. And we are going to evaluate what is worthy of a burial or a resurrection. And we will, emphasis on will, we will move forward. What does the future look like? I don't know. But we sure have a lot of things in our mind that we would love it to look like. But we will move forward. We have an opportunity. The district is going to use our facilities to do an Acts 2 journey recalibration in 2023, starting in February. And we are going to jump on board with that. It's for the northwest section of our state. And so we're encouraged by the opportunity to become part of that. And through that, we will form a decisive vision and purpose of where we're going as a church. But in the meantime, we're going to do those four other things. So our future depends on the decisions and the actions, steps that we have decided to take and we're going to take. I like this quote by Samuel R. Chand, Leadership Pain, The Classroom for Growth. He says this. He says, there is no growth without change. There is no change without loss, and no loss without pain. Thus, growth equals pain. So, some of your feelings may get hurt. And maybe the new direction of the church, maybe in some of the ministries that we do not resurrect, or we do not do. But growth equals pain. We are not ready for revival. We are not ready for an influx of people just to flood our facilities. For one, we wouldn't know how to disciple them. For one, we can't even get nursery workers. Ooh. We'll move on from there. Do you understand what we're saying? We want families. We want growth. But yet, somebody's got to do the work. And you don't pay us enough to do everything. Amen. Together, we're going to discover our threshold of pain. Together, we're going to enjoy the journey. There is no worse place, no worse emotional state than to be in a liminal space or no man's land. It is not a great place to be emotionally. I've been through it many times in the transitions we've had. Look at my wife over there. But I like this quote. It says, as one person said, it's hell in the hallway. If you are in that liminal space right now, it is not a great place to be. And it's as close to hell as I want to be. Many of us have been there, and maybe you're there today. You've been there. You know what I'm talking about here this morning. It is a place that we'd like to avoid if possible. But God orchestrates these times in our lives to discover the depths of His love, His grace, His power, His provision, and His perfect will. We have to go through these times. They are the testing times, where we can't go back. All we can do is move forward. Even though we don't know what the future holds, we are still moving towards the future. So let's bring it home, if you'll help me out. I don't know where you're at in your life today, and I don't know what you are going through personally. But let me just say this. If you find yourself presently in that liminal space, that no man's land in your life, we want to encourage you to press in, to pray, to read the scripture, and pull other believers in with you and say, hey, this is what I'm going through. Will you agree in prayer with me? Doesn't it say if two or more agree? Doesn't it say if there's two or more gathered together? He said He's here. But He said He'll also answer prayer. So let me ask you this morning, are you in that place in your life today? Will you allow us to come alongside of you and pray? We encourage you to pray for us as a church, because in the next month, we've got to make a lot of decisions. We've got to put a lot of things in place. And we covet your prayers, but we also covet your involvement. We cannot do it without you. And we're going to be challenging some of you to step up to the plate. Some of you are teachers. And we need some teachers to help us begin to disciple people. Because we had a discussion, you know, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Presence manifestation or spiritual formation? Does God move? And then we get disciple? Or do we disciple to see a movement of God? Because we know that what? Faith comes by hearing, by the teaching of God's word. So whatever way we make it, if God wants to show up, hallelujah, show up, God. And if not, we're going to prepare ourselves. We are going to be spiritually ready for when God decides to pour out His Spirit, that when people come, we're going to be ready. We don't want to implode, folks. You can't have an explosion without implosion. We don't want to implode. God, do what you want us to do. I encourage you this morning. Are you here? Are you in that liminal space in an area of your life here today and you're just kind of stuck and you kind of are frustrated? Can we pray with you this morning? I invite you to come forward. We'll have people pray with you this morning. You kind of feel like spiritually you're in no man's land. That you can't go back. You feel like you can't go forward. Anybody this morning?